tenants at whatever address like fraudulently moved in, scammed all their bank accounts, scammed all their like move-in documents, basically like forged all this shit to get into this house. They are throwing outrageous parties. They're terrorizing the neighborhood. My daughter was coming home in her Uber and they attacked her car. They're urinating on my bushes. There's trash in the streets. Fucking, they're throwing crazy party, whatever. And then it's like, they're even filming pornos in the house.
All right, High Rise Podcast, always pushing. Welcome back.
Very early stages, the cops came to my house and accused me of selling drugs.
What NFTs are doing is creating these communities. It's like, you guys aren't going to understand this voyage we're on. Meanwhile, they don't realize that the market that's in the store is very different from the market that's on the street.
The exact same feeling I got from them is the feeling I got from the weed minimum. And that's why I went into cannabis full time. But it's like the sum of the parts.
All right, we're back.
All right, podcast always pushing back with the first episode of Just Me and E.
I know, it's been fucking forever.
On the new channel.
When was the last one we did? That was the Satori one?
That was like, yeah, we did 3 weeks Craig ago or something? From Talking Trees and Satori, which is super sick, getting a, you know, OG skater / OG cannabis head on the show.
Yeah, that was a good one for sure. I feel like that was like 2 years ago.
I know, right? Like a couple weeks ago. Yeah, it's been crazy. You haven't had a podcast. It's been nuts. Relaunched this YouTube channel, and we've been in the Green Street building. So what's it been like working out of the Green Street building?
It's pretty dope. Like, literally our neighbors are the Jungle Boys and Wizard Trees. So it's like literally like two of the best flower brands in California or the world, actually. So it's like, I don't know, they're just like blessing us with like hella shit all the time. And it's just cool to be working around like literally the dopest fucking brands. So that's cool. The building overall is cool. There's like a restaurant at the bottom that's like pretty dope. Drink a lot of beer there. Me and Rama and Josh cleared out their ghillie stock. And yeah, fucking, I can't wait for the roof to be open. That shit's going to be lit. The events have been good. They've been doing a bunch of events. So for those of you who don't know what the fuck we're talking about, it's like new 7-story building, even though they know what we're talking about because that's all we
fucking
post.
Yeah, we have Rama as the first guest on the podcast. But if you guys want to check out more about Green Street, definitely check out our vlog of the building. It's like a cool little day in the life of what the gang, the high-rise gang does there. And then we're in the process of making On the Rise, which is like a little 15-minute documentary on the building. So you guys will definitely be seeing more of that if you guys have seen the weekly drops. We're... did an episode from there. But yeah, it's basically gonna be the epicenter of cannabis for the future in
LA.
Yeah,
it's like definitely been filling up more and more each week, it seems like. It's always like something happening, I feel like, each week that's new and exciting. So that's good. We're planning a 420 party there, so that'll be dope. They have like a huge gallery lounge called Alta, and it's pretty much built for events. It's gonna be connected to the roof eventually, but yeah, we're going to go smoke that bitch out on 420, and we're expecting about I'm not even going to say how many people we're expecting.
We're expecting the fire alarm to go off and the owner of the building to be getting bummed at Diego. Diego, who is our man who works on our floor, and he takes care of pretty much the whole building. It's like the dude who's just like constantly running around, but he's just like the most hospitable homie. Diego,
yeah, holding it down.
Shout
for
out Diego.
Sure.
We'd love to get Diego on the... more on the channel.
We should have a strain review with Diego for sure. Shit. Or like something.
But yeah, just moving in and being like one of the first tenants in the building is fucking awesome because it's still empty. So we're getting to, you know, we're getting to the party early. You know, when you show up to the party and it's popping and you're just like, fuck, you're overwhelmed. Where we pulled up, one of the first got into the office, one of the first teams, and there's only a handful of people in there to start, and we really got to like develop relationships with all these people before it's like a shit show.
No, yeah. Like the way I see it playing out is in 6 months, there's going to be a waiting list and people are going to be bummed that they didn't get in now kind of thing. So it's kind of just like a domino effect. It's just like they just keep getting these dope, you know, it's like dope brand. Then just like literally domino, like slowly filling up with all this cool shit. So I'm stoked. It's nice to get out of this fucking house.
How's that been? You've been here for literally 2 years. So
I like it. It's so funny. Like, I forgot, I was like DMing someone or like texting someone, and like our office is like in the corner, and it's just like cement wall. It literally looks like you're in solitary confinement. And like somebody's like, "Oh, I hope you like got some sun today." And I like just took a picture of the cement wall. I'm like, I'm in solitary confinement, but I'm like, I don't know. Like, I like it. I like just like having another space I can go and work and fucking whatever. I like having like it's a good balance. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like two completely different fucking scenarios, set or whatever you call it, environments, I guess, you know?
Yeah, you've been in this house. So there's times like Aaron didn't leave the house for a month at a time during COVID. And it was not because of COVID. It's just we're just grinding here and everybody's coming here for the first year. So
yeah.
Aaron like didn't even leave, you know?
Dude, there's, so yeah.
Now he's out in the streets.
Yeah.
It's going back.
Even just like
forth.
Driving, like driving through the city. It's like fucking skate up the street to the store. Just like little things like that. It's like, I don't know. Forgot what that was like.
You know, leave it on the hill.
Yeah.
Kick of the hill at the master bedroom.
Yeah, we'll see. We got a couple more months left here at the high rise mansion, and then I don't know, maybe we'll go month to month for a little bit, or maybe we'll get the high rise mansion junior 2.0. So that'll be July or some shit. It's gonna come up in no time.
Dude, it's gonna come up so fast. It's already almost April. It's already almost people have been talking about 420. I'm like, we got plenty of time. Like that shit is right around the corner.
I know. I just like, fuck, I need to start ordering shit. We've got an event coming up.
Yeah, so yeah,
event's gonna be dope. We got Emerald Cup involved. They're doing like a lounge like build out thing. We got Dogface, the fucking cranberry dude's gonna like do a little DJ guest thing.
Damn, he's gonna have like a remix to Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. That would be fucking, that'd be the slapper. We got After's Ice Cream, fire. A couple other good food vendors, Cure Company. Yeah, I don't know, bunch of shit. So that's our next big one. And then right after that's Hall Flowers. Right after that's the Green Street Festival. Fest. And then right after that, who knows?
Yeah, Jen even said it. She's like, last night we were talking. I was like, yo, we should like go on, we should get like a fucking Airbnb for a weekend or a hotel and like just fucking do nothing. She's like, well, it's almost festival season for you. It's like trade show season and 420 are fucking Black Friday.
Sure, yeah.
It's like the stoner holidays is April, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. April is going to be probably pretty hectic. But what else is new?
For real. Like, yeah, we're recording this after a 10-hour work day. And
this has been our busiest month in terms of clients and dollar signs in the history of high-rise. Or high-rise agency, whatever. High-rise, yeah. Pretty crazy.
That's a good thing.
So that's good, but it comes with a lot of other fun stuff to deal with. So
and we're just fucking working on this YouTube thing. I would say not, like, we're not going super hard at it because we've posted like 25 videos and we haven't made a dollar off any of these videos. Like all the YouTube content you guys are seeing and these podcasts is just us doing this shit on the side for the community to just tell stories and build and, you know, just support the brand and our homies and show off some of the cool people that we work with. And yeah, so we haven't made a dollar on any of these videos. We're just doing this shit on the side of all of our agency and brand stuff. And I'm fucking loving creating this shit for you guys. And hopefully, you know, we get sponsors for the show. We can bring in some income and we can create more content for the channel and then also higher quality content. So
yeah, we're definitely looking at some ways to kind of, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't want to say what we're going to do, but we're going to do some shit. We're going to try to get some more help on the high-rise TV side. And yeah, you guys wouldn't even believe how we're doing this right now. It's absurd.
Like literally
with the smallest.
I set up the four cameras, three cameras, all the lights, the audio and everything on this. And I'm just fucking praying to God that one of the cameras doesn't stop because there's three cameras, lights, audio on all this shit right now. And like normally I would be the dude producing it and making sure everything's cool and the audio's good and this, but like, if one of these cameras just randomly shuts off. So like if you guys watch the podcast and you constantly see me looking around and looking at the camera, because I'm looking at the LCD screen trying to see if it's still recording. So we don't waste an hour of our time shooting something and then the camera's off.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, hopefully one of these days. Or if you guys, anybody listening to this lives in LA and you guys have any production experience and you want to come help produce this podcast, start off as an intern, see what we can do with this. Yeah, fucking bang
come
our
help
line.
Us.
But yeah, we're
help
just
us, help,
we're literally grinding
help.
This shit out. I feel like people don't understand that we're just like grinding this
nobody
shit out
fucking
with like
understands
six people,
anything.
Dude. Like we're doing 25 uploads in 2 months. Like
most people don't even upload one
side.
Fucking YouTube thing a week, and we're doing like three, and we have five shows and over 50 clients and multiple events and two brands and fucking da 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 whatever the fuck else. I don't even
know. Like six of us.
Who knows? Couldn't tell you. So check my Trello.
No, I feel like one of these days we just need to like pull up to Trello, or we need to just like audit ourselves.
No, there's one day I want to do a day in the life, and it's just like a great, on a busy one, you know what I mean? Just like almost make it a game. Yeah. We like add, like, we have like a little like check mark thing on the side or something. And it's just like even today was like fucking insane, but Yeah, I don't know. That'd be fun for sure.
I'm not gonna lie. I like obviously want to film it, but like that'd be fucking exhausting filming and editing.
Oh my god, fuck yeah!
Because I would literally be like a
you're just like reliving the day, pretty much.
Like a 14-hour day.
Yeah, you're like reliving it and then having to edit it on top of that, and then yeah.
Oh, you want all this shit? Watch what Aaron has to do in a day. Are you ready to do 14 hours a day?
Yeah, I'll never forget
every single fucking day.
When we first moved in, some girl was—I forget she's the exact comment. She's just like, how'd you get that? How are you even here? Like some like snarky shit. Like, how'd you even like did it? Like, how'd you do that? Like, whatever. And it's like, literally work every day, fucking 7 days a week for fucking last forever. You know what I mean?
Dude, 100%. It's like embracing the fucking work. Like,
yeah.
There's so many people that I know and, you know, that we know or everybody knows. And it's almost like everybody's trying to get out of work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do we cheat the system? Or how do we, I just want to work 3 days a week. Like, I don't want to work 4 days a week or... life should just, we should just be able to do whatever we want, whenever we want. It's like, yeah, that's fucking great. But we are so privileged that, like, we're so goddamn privileged that we think we have that mentality.
Yeah.
Where it's like, the hard work wins every single time. And you just have to have faith that it's going to work out. Like, in my personal life, a bunch of shit I've done in my life, like, being, like, a little, like, chubby Asian kid with a bowl cut. And I'm like,
insert
like,
picture here.
I did or actually, you had the picture?
No.
Did you have the basketball picture?
I don't think so.
But yeah, I literally like sit ups and fucking play basketball 4 hours a day over summer and like lost weight. And then I had like little girlfriends in eighth grade and shit. Or like I fucking was not that great at skating and I skated my ass off and everybody quit skating. And then I became the pro skater.
Stuck with it. Yeah.
You just literally ride it out, dude. Because like talented people are going to quit because they don't know hard work. And if you just grind it out, like fear the man that does one kick a day for 1,000 days, not the dude that does 1,000 kicks in one day, you know?
Yeah.
Just grind that shit out.
Yeah.
Like if our dumbasses can do it, like anybody could fucking do it. But it's just like sacrifice, like a lot of sacrifice. And like, when the fuck have you been on vacation? Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Like
I was trying to see if I could finesse something between my birth, like I don't know, I probably won't, who knows, but I was going to like try to finesse either like the day after 420, I just like dip and then come back on my birthday or leave like the day after my birthday. I'm trying to finesse like a few days like around my birthday or something to go somewhere. But
should we
like,
just do it where like we just shut like, down and everybody has to go out of town? You know what I mean?
I know, right?
That might almost be like a... Yeah. Or like, how do we do it? Like,
yeah. I just want to go on like an easy one, like Mexico or some shit. Or just like some shit that's not super far and crazy, but I'm still like somewhere cool, you know what I mean? But it wouldn't be like that gnarly to get there or whatever.
Yeah, because it's one of those things too when you go on vacation, it's like you want to relax, obviously, but then you also want to adventure.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go on vacation or you go camping or something like that, and then you like the idea is to relax, but then you fucking pack up all your shit. You haven't showered and you're exhausted because you've been sleeping on the ground, waking up when the sun comes up, and then drive home 4 hours, and you get home and you're just like, that was like not that it was mentally relaxing.
But then you get back
off the grid, but you're just like exhausted, so it's kind of... Like in our positions, it's like, I want to
I need the mental, like,
exactly.
Physically, I'll fucking go 100, whatever, I won't stop. But like literally every day when I stop working, it's because my brain's just fried, or else I'll just keep going. But it's just like, all right, now my brain, like, is hurting, and I'm like, I can't even think. I'm not being efficient, and I'm like, why am I, like, fucking go to bed, you know what I mean, or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know,
I don't know, I was thinking about it the other day, I was like, how many, I haven't had, like, a real, real vacation, and I... probably since we like started agency, like we haven't like Jen, we haven't been back to Hawaii in over 5 years. She hasn't been home, you know?
Yeah.
Between the two of us with the businesses, it's so hard to do, but I don't know. I've had people say like, you just have to book it like 6 months out and then just
cause
live
then
your life around it.
Too, then,
or
yeah,
the Yeasty Boys homie, we went to Gusto Greens and he was like, no, you literally have to just like spontaneous that shit. And like it's like, what the fuck, what do we do? Because
I don't think well definitely couldn't do that because 50 million things to fuck keep track of,
but and it's not like I'm rich as fuck. I can't just go buy a plane ticket 3 days in advance, you know what I mean? Like I need to like get that shit like a third the price four months out.
No, that's I feel like that's definitely the move. Just plan it like fucking end of the year, whatever it is, just plan it far ahead, and then you just like have to fucking do it, you know what I mean? Like that's like, I don't know, whenever I actually take days off, I always plan it ahead of time, and then I'm like, all right, I'll just take it off my calendar so it's not even a day. That's the trick. It's like my Trello. It'll be like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or some shit. But if I'm not going to, whatever, I'll just take the Monday off or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've like done that before. So then it's like, you like trick yourself into fucking.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely some shit, need to I don't do know. That. And then it's like between me and Jen, like she has to like close down if she wants to leave for like a week or two. So
yeah.
So fucking bullshit. But we're gonna figure it out, guys. We're gonna go on vacation for you guys, and then we're gonna reset, and then we're gonna come back, and we're gonna go even harder at this shit, if that's possible.
If for real.
But yeah, I don't know. I've been stoked on the YouTube shit. Like, we haven't really talked about it too much because Aaron and I haven't had a podcast alone since we launched the channel. It's been with guests, but aside from our little 60-second little intro thing for the channel, like, basically why we did this shit is because we had 250,000 subscribers on the other channel. Our videos are getting 800 fucking views.
Yeah. And like, every time, like, it's insane. Like, we're putting out such good quality content so consistently, like, so much shit, you know what I mean? And we have 250,000 followers. Like, cool, we're getting 1,000 views. Like, how is that even fucking possible? There's some tweaks we could have done,
but it's not that big of a deal. Like, there's some little YouTube tweaks we could have done here and there, like with the titles or with the fucking links or whatever. But it's still, we lost our channel in 2018. They deleted us when they went through their purge. And then we randomly got it back like 6 months to a year later. And ever since we've got it back,
just we've dead. Literally nobody gets notifications like on anything we fucking post or send out. Just everything gets same thing as Instagram. It's like literally same thing. Yeah. Like just suppress, shadow ban, not showing it, not like anything.
But we've had homies restart channels and, you know, build up to 100K. So we're like, fuck this, dude. Like, let's just relaunch. On top of it, all of our subscribers on the old channel just hated us. They just wanted to see Mac and Joya.
It was a lot of old followers and old subscribers and inactive subscribers and all that too. So yeah, it's nice to build like a fresh new kind of audience or community, and now we know like everyone following this is like going to be about it. And I don't know, it's like, I don't know, I'm stoked too. It's just another challenge. It's like, all right, let's see if we could do it again from fucking scratch, you know what I mean? Like, I don't see why not.
I love it.
Eventually we'll figure it out.
Just having faith.
Of time. Yeah,
just having faith in the hard work and like the work we put in and the fucking fried after 10 hours of work. But just, you know, the product that we put out.
No, it's like, there's such a void for the cannabis, like, media platform or network or, like, whatever it is. It's like, nobody's fucking doing it. And it's like, we're trying to do it, like, on the side with, like, the most bullshit resources and no money and no time. And we're still just, like, pumping all this out. So that's what we really want to figure out is how to build that side of High Rise up and be the fucking new High Time, be the new Leafly, be the new fucking
Thrasher,
Barstool, whatever of cannabis. And we have all the content and community and cool shit to back it up. We just need the manpower to do it. So I'm stoked that it's like a whole nother challenge. So
it's like a whole nother chapter because our old channel was just so much hijinks and so much just crazy stoner shit and challenges. And this new one is, you know, we've evolved as people, and I don't think that the followers and subscribers, because most of them were for Mac and Joya, and when they would see us on the channel, they would literally top comment, sees dudes, leaves. And we just want to do us and be us and not try to be some like crazy fucking funny stoner personalities. Like, we just want to be us. We just want to be hardworking, like, stoner skateboarder dudes that found our own lane and inspire other people to do the same shit, because cannabis is the industry's so young. And, you know, it's Barney so was over here today shooting reviews, and Barney hired people that were bud tenders at they were bud tenders. He worked at Ember Valley. He hired like 6 kids that were bud tenders to come be sales.
Yeah.
At Ember Valley. And 5 of those kids have gone on to bigger jobs in 18 months. Yeah. So these kids have only, like, Israel was only a bud tender for 6 or 8 months, and then he met Barney. He turned into a sales rep at Ember Valley. Now he moved up in another 18 months. No, so in 2 years now of being like the cannabis industry,
the golden time,
like, you can, like, literally zoom up the ladder.
Well, especially right now, there's a window, I feel like, because it's like everybody's trying to launch a cannabis brand right now at the same time, and everybody needs talent, and they need people that know the plant and understand the plant, and there's not a lot of those people out there. It's like supply and demand, like, literally, like, yeah. So it's like, if you're fucking smart and like cannabis, like, start fucking bud tending and just start meeting people and going to events and networking and just being fucking a good person, and like, you'll be surprised how far and fast that can get you in this industry right now. Like, but might not be like that in 5 years or something when, like, it gets more, like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
It's going to get saturated. Yeah. We're at Bitcoin. This is Bitcoin at 300.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, get in the industry now, guys. That's like a big reason why we do this shit. Like, we do this shit because we love it. We love creating. And I look at it like we're in the position that we're in, and it's our responsibility to share this shit with you guys and tell you guys the secrets, you know? Like, encourage you guys to ask questions in the comments, like anything. Like, let's want to help any of you guys figure it out. Make sure to follow High Rise TV on Instagram, because whenever we see brands or homies posting job opportunities, we always repost that shit. We just want to get passionate cannabis people into the industry, because there's a lot of people that are in this, that are coming into the industry that are not passionate. There's a lot of fucking chads. There's a lot of corporate scum coming in that doesn't smoke weed, that doesn't give a fuck about weed, and they're trying to make money off this shit. So the more knowledgeable people we have in the community, the better off the culture is.
Yeah. And that's like been so fucking dope to me with High Rise, is like just how many people we connect. And like, I don't know, it's just, it's dope. So yeah, get in the fucking industry, start doing some shit, make some shit happen. Maybe you'll end up at an exclusive Michelin star sushi restaurant in the Hollywood Hills.
What a beautiful segue, Aaron.
You like that?
What a segue. Look at that. This dude's going to get, he's got to get used to being on the mic, because this dude's going to be like the keynote fucking speaker in 2 years. He's going to be like the fucking weed Gary.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about that. Yeah. So did we go to a Michelin star dinner?
So yeah, it's fucking hilarious, because when me and Derek first started the High Rise agency side of things, maybe like the first like 2 weeks, we just started going to all, this ties in perfectly to what I just say, go to events. Literally all we did was go to random events, like the most random ones you can fucking ever imagine. And one of them happened to be this like mansion infused like dinner party, like fucking Bradley Cooper was there, insert video here. And yeah, we're just like in this mansion in the hills, and this is like 3 or 4 years ago, and we're just like, well, this is crazy, like the fucking places weed brings you or whatever. And it's like, now we're like sitting in our own fucking mansion in Beverly Hills smoking, you know what I mean? It's just like
better
absurd
view, bigger house.
Just something he said was just like the places that cannabis could bring us, and like years ago. And it's just been insane to see where we've ended up because of cannabis. Like, it, yeah, so we were at this like crazy ass like restaurant the other night, and I don't even know where to start. We had a shaman. They had a shaman come out and bless the dinner with like fucking sage and shit.
The night before season 4 of Yellowstone.
Yeah, dude, you're getting
just
all hyped up.
Bricked up for Yellowstone.
He's getting all geeked
Can't
up.
Can't wait, dude. I'm like 3 days late. Dude, I'm working from home tomorrow. I'm binging on some Rick and some John Dutton.
I know, I still haven't watched it. I watched half of Ready Player One though.
Good. It's so good. Ready Player One is fucking, yeah.
That's literally
the We'll come back to the dinner. We're talking about Ready Player One. I watched it the other day too. It's so fucking, I watched it a couple years ago, and it, you know, this was like before NFT shit.
I'd never even heard of it.
And like, I've, even from back, it came out, that one came out in 2018. I'm pretty sure it's like a book or like an old movie from back in the day. But I like was familiar with it, and I was like, I got to rewatch this shit. And now with context of about what, with everything's happening
today,
and it's like,
it's so spot on.
I posted this the other day. Nerds fucking win.
Really?
Nerds fucking win. Cool guys eat shit. Cool guys get left in the fucking dust. Gonna be flipping burgers for fucking nerds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nerds fucking win, because Ready Player One comes out in 2018. Those dudes have been thinking about this like VR, Oculus, metaverse shit for how long? For, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in their head, this shit was a possibility 20 years ago. The technology wasn't there. So now that it's out and they're, you
they're
know.
They're so early on it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, they're building it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like what we're doing in cannabis. Like, we're building this fucking marketing.
It hasn't been done yet. Yeah.
Cannabis. Like, we're like paving
out the framework or whatever.
So, Ready Player One's crazy. Yeah. If you guys haven't seen it, it's just all like virtual reality, Oculus, everybody lives in their version of the metaverse, and it's just like, it's not what's, it's, this shit's gonna happen.
No, it's like so spot on, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes all the sense.
It's so funny, because we're not even like in the metaverse yet, really, and like you own probably like a couple NFTs and a couple airdropped ones and stuff, but
yeah.
It's gonna be such a big topic on this podcast, but like I don't even own any NFT yet. I believe that this shit is going to be the future. I got like MetaMask and my OpenSea and shit, but like I don't know, hopefully you're gonna get annoyed with this shit, but we're still trying to figure it out, so we're gonna be talking about it a lot. Like, we don't know, we're definitely not experts, we're just dipping our toes in right now, but any information you guys have, like, take this journey with us.
Yeah, for real. We're gonna start doing like NFT crypto kind of mastermind meetup things here at the mansion, so any Bored Ape Yacht Club members out there, holler at your boys.
Airdrop me some shit.
Or not. But yeah, if you're into crypto and doing some cool shit, hit us up. Come
Which
through.
Is another segue back to our...
Back to our dinner.
Back to our dinner the other night.
So we went to Yamashiro. Probably butchered that. Yamashiro.
I should know. It's like close to Fukuhara. Yeah. But I don't know. A Japanese restaurant on the top of
Hollywood
Hills. I didn't know that shit existed.
Probably top three views I've seen yet. Probably the Soho House. Probably Soho House view is probably the best.
Well, your master bedroom view shits on everything. What are you talking about?
No,
your master bedroom view
it does.
Is literally Aaron's fucking view. Okay, so our view here is literally like the 1% of views of like the fucking world.
Everything.
You know what I mean? Like, billionaire would come up here and like, you'd be like, this house is a shithole, but like, fucking view.
How the fuck are you guys in
now,
here?
Now you go up to Aaron's balcony and it's like 1% of the 1% of the world.
Absurd.
Like, you get some like Dubai prince to come out here and be like, it's a beautiful view, you know? Like, fool, you live on the fucking 124.
The real estate here. Agent said it's in the top 10% of views and all of it, whatever, on the mark, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Fucking right it is, or else I wouldn't be here.
Find me something in the top 9. Yeah. Top 8 for Tom from MySpace.
But no, like fucking, yeah, the restaurant's like crazy view. You could just see like everything. And then we're like walking up and there's like, what do you call those things? Those like...
It's like pagoda or something like that.
With the Buddha
like
thing in it?
Yeah.
Like it's like crazy, like know. Little not statues, but like little structures. Like I don't even know how to say it.
I feel like it's pagoda.
Like, literally like a fucking big old gold Buddha thing. And like, then you walk down even further. There's like a little hidden pool. Remember?
Dude.
With like a bar and shit?
Yeah.
So sick. And then we like get into the restaurant. It's just like craziness. And then basically it's for this like new crypto project. And yeah, so we like sit down. They have a shaman come out. Like walks around with like sage and shit and like blesses
Damn,
the
you
room.
Knew it was sage. Look
is
at
that
you.
What it was?
Yeah,
yeah,
look
that's
at
what
you.
I figured, yeah. You know. And yeah, it's like a 75 person like table. And then they had every single person go around the table and introduce themselves.
Dude, I literally
that was
said,
insane.
We're really doing this. Like Russell Brand from
yeah.
From
yeah. yeah.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
Bro, I said that I could not say that out loud. It's like 70 people are going to go through introductions around this table. I was like, we'll be here till 3:30 in the morning. The first 10 people took their time.
Yeah.
It was the most LA.
There's like
shit
a couple
ever.
People that definitely like gave a speech, and then a bunch of people just like cruised through it for the most
like
part.
A third of the people have nothing to do with cannabis
right.
or crypto. They just
yeah.
got invited by a plus one that they didn't have. You
that
know?
Too, yeah.
But
yeah, it was dope. But they had like, it was like an infused, like 4-course thing. So this kept bringing all this like fancy infused shit. And then,
or it was infused roulette.
And then at the end, they brought out like mushroom infused something. What was that?
I wish I should have taken the menu. It was like some infused flan. It was delicious. It has mushrooms in it.
Yeah.
The food had, it was cannabis infused and the dessert was psilocybin infused.
Yeah.
But they didn't really tell us. Everybody was asking how
nobody
many milligrams
knew, yeah.
and nobody fucking knew. From the feeling I had when I left, I eat about 180 to like 100 something a night. It felt like I had eaten like 40 or 50.
Yeah.
And then it felt like I had taken a 0.3 or 0.4 microdose and I only ate like 20% of the
yeah.
the dessert.
Yeah.
When I drove home, I was like, I got here, I was like, I'm definitely feeling good and cozy,
yeah.
but then I couldn't sleep. I was just up all night, just like fucking.
Yeah, I don't even remember passing out. I literally don't even remember going to bed at all. I remember I just like, I definitely felt I just felt super warm and like fuzzy, kind of like body mm-hmm. high from the food. And then I felt the mushrooms like a little bit, and then the margaritas were slapping that night.
Oh, yeah.
Margaritas were slapping.
Margs.
So shout out to the Canada.
Showing us a good time.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Me and Derek haven't been out on the town in a while.
No, that was hilarious. We were driving to it when Aaron said, when we started this shit, it was us just having no idea. Keep in mind, before we started the agency, we were just doing the merch and the brand and doing everybody else's merch and production out of a warehouse, and we didn't go to any events. We didn't go to
We were like a weed clothing streetwear brand, but we were like in the industry, but we weren't at all. At the same time. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, we didn't go.
It was
like,
weird. Like,
we had the big online community. We had 100,000 on YouTube. And we
like
had,
I would do like High Time. I would actually do a lot of the events and stuff, but that was the extent of it.
Yeah.
Like setting up a booth at High Times or fucking
yeah.
whatever other trade show.
Maybe like fucking once a year, twice a year or
yeah.
something like that.
Dunk
and
Exchange
then,
or I don't know, shit like that.
We
yeah.
didn't go to dinners. We didn't go to like any, there. I don't know if there was mixers.
There
was probably
yeah.
just, I think it was all seshes back in the day.
Yeah, it was all like the, like, yeah, Oiler or whatever, all those like
805.
Random ones. Yeah,
taco sesh,
dab
and,
sesh, or whatever
yeah.
older ones. Yeah,
and so we used to just go into these things blind, we didn't know anybody. We just had this online community. We didn't know anybody in person.
Yeah,
me and Aaron just like going out to. We go to the dinner in Beverly Hills, and then like 3 days later, we go out to Vegas for Champs for the first time because Beta Glass Labs invited us to this crazy party that was at Liberace and Elvis's old house. Yeah. So going into this thing, having no idea what we're doing, young bucks, and
next thing we know, I'm in Liberace's bedroom or something.
You're like sitting on his toilet. And then like going into the music room with fucking Michael Jackson played with like everybody and stuff. Just the most legendary music room you've ever seen. Recording little like
jam. That was
jam
tight,
room.
Yeah.
And so...
And then, dude, remember there was like a pool slash fountain? No, it was like a pool.
In the
going
middle
through
of
the middle of the living room.
Yeah.
Like a pool. Like a full on like fucking pool.
Probably like four times the size of our pool.
Dude, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then... Yeah, then we just all of a sudden 0 to 100 just started going to events and just meeting all these people. And then, you know, especially since we've been here the last 2 years and we've been hosting all the events and we've been like such a huge part of the community in person, everything we've gone to, it's like either like we're kind of in control of, or it's the homie shit, or, you know, it's like Wayne or Adam Hill just like walks us into secrets, whatever, you know? So this was like one of the first times me and Aaron driving over there in the Subaru and we're just like, what the fuck are we about to get into?
Nah, he's
the
like, first I knew it was
time
gonna be
in
a
so
good
long.
Yeah.
Just felt like, but that's not going to be the last time. There's going to be times where like in the future, we're just go to some even weirder shit. Somebody invites us to
barely
like
getting started.
The
yeah.
Oscars box seat.
How 3 years ago we're saying, oh my God, we're in a mansion. And now we're like, oh, we're in a, and then whatever. And then in 3 more years, we're going to be like, oh, we're in, you know, you're like fucking whatever we're at in 3 years.
Sitting cage side for Chris Rock versus Will Smith. Yeah. Celebrity MMA.
That has to be like most viral thing of all time.
That's like almost unbelievable.
Like top,
but like,
do you think or no? Top three most viral things ever. What's the most viral thing ever? Like that's like what else is more viral than this fool going up in the middle of the Oscars, slapping this fool in the face, sitting down, and then yell like, what? Like that's insane.
It was like pretty unbelievable to where you have to believe it's staged.
Yeah,
you know what
I don't
mean?
Know.
But yeah. Like it's and then you watch it and then he yells that and the Oscars don't want that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
exactly. But then again, who knows? They could all be in the back room laughing, and this is like a genius marketing ploy.
It's like
think about that, dude.
100%.
The one I gotta tell this one. I was watching this documentary, and it was fucking what was it? The guy we saw this Shep Gordon.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he gets Alice Cooper right, and so Alice Cooper is like cracking in the United States. He's like selling out like rock star, whatever the fuck, right? So they're like, all right, now we're going to bring him worldwide or whatever. So they bring him to, I'm probably butchering part of this, whatever. They bring him to London or the UK or whatever. And he's like supposed to sell like thousands of tickets, right? And there's just no sales. And it's like just nobody's really cares or whatever. So the Shep Gordon dude goes to the fucking, this other dude, which I forget his name. He's the manager of the manager or the marketing dude, PR dude for the Beatles, I think is what it was. And he goes to him and he's like, yo, fucking, I need to sell some tickets. Like, how do we do this shit? And then. He's like showing him all the stuff, like showing him the album covers and the photos and whatever. And like his most recent album, he's like laying naked with like a snake or some shit. And so the dude's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. He's like, we're going to take that image. We're going to blow it up as big as possible. We're going to get 2 huge trucks, like box trucks, and put the image on each side of all the trucks. Then what do? They drive the trucks into downtown, the busiest part of downtown, and they break them down. And then they just dip. So for like 4 hours, these 2 huge trucks with this naked guy with the snake are in the busiest part at the busiest time, and it goes viral. And all the news outlets pick it up, and everybody starts talking about it, and it's this huge thing. Sells out. How fucking gangster is that? Like, that's the most gangster shit I ever heard of in my life. Like,
it's like the next
that's
level
so
of PR,
crazy.
You know? That's where, like, Kardashian and them just have it on lock, or even... This is like such the next level of PR, even like government shit, even with like people who want whatever people want to believe with a vaccine or whatever. Like, Conor McGregor, Jake Paul, Dana White, like these people are fucking 38 steps ahead of everyone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, reacting to something over emotion is never good. Like, taking the information, process that shit, think about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead before you react to it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And these dudes are like, these so fucking
calculated.
PR people, it's understanding human behavior. Like, Connor understands human behavior. You know, he's saying some shit just to get a fucking, just to rile people up, just to get, because he knows that everybody's going to pick it up. Like, Kanye West going up to the Taylor Swift thing. You know what I mean? Like, this shit is just
even
PR.
Like Jake Paul, like, when he was like, because he was a Disney star at first, right? And when he was like 17 or something. 16, 17, something like that. He had a house in Hollywood And it was just like a dope house. It wasn't like anything super crazy, but it's like definitely a nice fucking house. And it's like him and his friends are just like trashing it, partying like crazy, all this shit. And so like all the neighbors fucking hate him. They're like calling the city, trying to get him killed, whatever, to the point where the news, the ABC news like shows up. And at this point, I think he's like vlogging and shit. So like they're all like, dude, the news is outside. The news is here. Da-da-da. And he's like, dude, like it's literally like this kid's like 16, 17. He's just like, you could just see it. He's just like, dude, he like literally like runs out front, like grabs a microphone, starts saying all this dumb shit. And then he just climbs up the news van and just starts like on top of the news van. I forget what he does, but he's just like yelling on top of it or dancing or just doing dumb shit. And then like that just goes viral. But it's, dude, he literally like was like boom, 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 boom. Like it was just like in his fucking blood or something, you know, like. And then now look at him. He's like the one of the best marketing dudes, in my opinion. Like, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's just like in, it's like second nature to him. Yeah. You know, it's like somebody who's grown up around that shit, around Disney, being a kid star, it's second nature to you.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
If you pick it up, if you decide to pick it up and you don't let your ego and trauma and all that shit get in the way, or you don't have a parent that steals all your money.
Yeah. But, so crazy.
Oh, I had a good, so you had a good segue right there, but my brain's not working at all.
The Will Smith slap?
Yeah, I don't know. But, that's been the
that's all anybody's week. Talking
that's,
about.
Yeah, that's going to live on. That's going to live on for sure. I don't know.
Such was, a good meme,
like,
though.
Like Elon Musk smoking a blunt on Rogan. But it's like, yeah, that was but a pretty good one too. But the thing is, like, only certain media outlets are going to pick that up. Whereas this is like the Oscars and everybody's watching it, which is hilarious. Yeah. How there was delayed thing. So in America, it didn't play in America, but it played in Japan and everybody saw it anyway.
Yeah. I was wondering why, like, I didn't even realize when I posted it, it was like the Japanese version or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, we got that fucking uncut. You know, who else got that uncut? Fucking, I don't know. Andy Nguyen.
Fucking after
cutting up all the
cutting
food.
Cutting up bored apes, dude.
So that shit is insane. So yeah, that was like the worst segue ever. Bored Ape fucking Yacht Club. This dude literally is turning one into a restaurant. It's the smartest thing ever. Literally,
Long Beach.
Mark my words, every fucking, not every person, but you're going to see so many of these projects in the next like 60 days roll out. Because like, I mean, I'm sure people have already done it or whatever, but just his like way of, his concept of doing it so fucking smart. He's like, basically when you own these NFTs, these Bored Apes, like, the minimum one is worth whatever, $300,000, $400,000, whatever it is. Now you have the rights to this fucking image, this artwork that's like in the top 1% of this community club that holds it. And you can do anything you want with it. So like there's so much hype on this right now because there's so much marketing being pumped into this and so much money and so much clout and hype and whatever. So it's like, what do? You fucking leverage that into something. So it's like, boom, he leverages that into a restaurant. So he's making a Bored Ape Yacht Club restaurant, all branded and themed with his specific NFT that he holds. Just going back to like NFT shit, it's crazy. It's like how Bored Ape set their shit up was so smart. It's like they just set up an ecosystem and a community to just reward and give value back to their holders, and in turn that makes them want to fucking push the thing. It just like literally is like so good how they do it. Like
it's community,
it's just crazy. And now, so my point to that is, by buying this fucking, even saved $300,000 now to buy it, even though a year ago they were, I think, half an ETH or something, or one ETH or some shit, like nothing. And now they're $300,000. Now this dude can license this fucking image onto his restaurant that can go make millions of dollars. You know what I mean? And then whatever other project, or like, it's just so crazy to me. Now you're going to see everybody start doing this in different industries and different categories and like leveraging their digital fucking IP and assets, and then like turning it into like other revenue streams or like businesses or anything. Mm-hmm. Really, or I don't even know, it just hurts my brain to think about, but I thought that was like one of the smartest things I've seen like in a long time.
It's just, and if someone were to do that, I feel like Andy Nguyen's like one of the best people to start a restaurant. So if you guys aren't familiar with Afters, if you probably aren't if you're not from LA, Afters Ice Cream is like this ice cream shop that this fool started. And they put crazy ass ice cream on like milk buns, and it's insane.
Dude,
it's,
you
like,
know, I've never even had one.
I've had one, and I didn't even get it with the milk bun because I was like, that's gonna murder me right now. Yeah. I just got the ice cream. The ice cream was fire, and it's just like a dope streetwear dude who, you know, used knowledge and experience in a different world and brought it to a restaurant. And I could be totally wrong about that.
No, yeah, that's you're spot on. Okay. Like it's. That's
in terms of like
that's why it's so interesting to me, because it's very, very similar to what our shit. It's very similar because that dude even had a brand called I'm King.
Oh,
that was sold under the same agency that we were sold under like 8 years ago in Santa Ana, like craziness. But same thing, he had this fucking dope streetwear brand for years and years and years. So what do you do? He learned marketing, he learned production, he learned fucking ads, he learned photo shoots, he learned all this shit that now he can apply in another industry, restaurants or food. And then we're just doing the same thing in cannabis. It's like, not the same thing, but similar shit. You know what I mean? It's just
like... And
then
he like fused like the ice cream with like kind of streetwear marketing and his like Asian background with the milk bun and shit like that. And like the fusion of it. You know what I mean? Like taking something that's the gift or the second nature to you that you don't even really have, that's authentic to you, and putting it out there and everybody just backs it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I don't know, we're always talking about like Bobby Hundreds, but he's like someone that you see who's like always on the forefront of shit, and he's, you know, owns like a fucking crazy ass, like who knows how much the Hundreds is worth. You know what I mean?
I bet you the Hundreds is probably like, I bet you they've made more money in the last like year off NFT shit than probably like clothing ever or something. You know what I mean? Like maybe not, but they've made a sickening amount of money, I guarantee you, in the last year off of. Because they're at the smartest fuck and they're on top of it. And this fool's like selling out digital merch 6 months ago in his fucking metaverse shit when people are like barely even doing that. Or like,
and he's teaching. Like if you guys
want to learn more about
this shit, this is one of the, he's one of the people that we watch is Bobby Hundreds, you know, co-founder of the Hundreds. Ever heard of it? on Instagram. And he's posting himself like at a dance party in the metaverse. And he's just, you know, it's really cool, man. Like,
yeah.
We have a lot of respect for that dude, and stuff that he's done is inspired us heavily in what we're doing with High Rise. But yeah, I don't know, more metaverse talk, but afters, it's crazy. It's in Long Beach. It's where I live. And if there was a place that it would work, it could be in Long Beach. You know, I don't know how crazy people are crypto NFT in Long Beach, but in terms of community and culture, Long Beach has like some of the strongest in Southern California. So,
well, it's like a guaranteeing thing about this too. It's like, I don't know if any of this is what he's going to do, but it's like, cool. You have the Bored Ape Club. Cool. Now you leverage that to all the people that hold one. You give them free this or discount this or incentivize them to franchise it or whatever the fucking play is on that side. And then the second thing, you're going to get all the PR, all the free fucking publicity and news outlets are going to be there because crypto's the hot thing. And who's the fucking new, you know what I mean? You're going to get all that fucking PR. And then three, you already have a reputation. You're already like this dope dude that people want to fuck with and support. So it's like you have those three things working. Like, yeah, I think it's going to fucking crack.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how, like...
And then he's probably going to make it to where it's like, you buy the shit there is an NFT, or you buy a membership or something, you know what I mean? Where it's like, some shit, I don't fucking know.
Airdrop you some shit.
That was probably like, something. On some way, there's smarter shit than we're going
to
fucking
think. Like stuff that we don't even, right? We don't even know the language.
Yeah.
And I'm just interested to see what, like you said, like what coin holders can, or not coin holders, but token holders or whatever, what the utility is if you own a different Bored Ape, or
it's like,
you know what I mean,
going back to the Bored Ape thing, it's like what they just did recently was they launched that Ape coin too. So it's like, going back to what I was saying, it's like being part of these communities that are like actually trying to build something, and it's like a real fucking utility behind it. So it's like, what do they do? Okay, by holding this Bored Ape NFT card, you now get access to, you get the first drop of tokens. So it's like, when they roll out their token to raise money or whatever it is, they can roll out this token at a penny
or a coin,
or coin or whatever, and give it to all the holders. So that's what they gave every single holder, $140,000 worth of fucking Ape coin just for holding the NFT.
And
how crazy is that?
That shit's got up what?
It's at probably $14 now. I think it got all the way up to like 30. I think it pumped up to like 25 or 30, and now it went back to like 10, and now it's been going up. It's like 13 or 14 right now. But basically, they're going to use all that money from this coin. So think about that too. You get $140,000 worth of this coin, and then it launches to the public, and it goes up fucking 500% or 200% or 50% or whatever it is. Now your 140 is fucking 715 or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like fucking insane. And
so
then
somebody literally spent fucking $1,500 to $2,000 on a Bored Ape. And now they probably have at least $450,000.
Yeah, for sure. Pretty crazy. That was 1 year ago.
NFTs are fucking JPEG. I'm going to screen grab it. Okay.
Literally 1 year ago. And now they're going to use all this money from the ApeCoin to build their own metaverse that's going to all be powered by the Bored Ape Yacht Club, which is the most elite, powerful crypto NFT community out. They're like, fuck this. They're like, fuck you, Binance. Fuck you, CoinMarket. Fuck you, Robinhood, whatever the fuck. They're like, we're just going to make our own exchange. So they're going to pull the coin off there eventually, make their own fucking exchange with it. Like, bring all the biggest projects under one thing, build their own metaverse, and then the whole metaverse is powered by their coin. Like, so crazy. You know what I mean? It's just like crazy times. Well, good, so yeah, we're trying to definitely like learn about all this shit and get more involved in NFTs and whatever, because we see ourselves getting involved like sooner than later. Like, we have this like dope community in person and we do all these dope community based things. So we're trying to think of how that looks as an NFT and how we can provide even more value to all the people that we're already kind of like working with in our ecosystem. And yeah, I don't know. We have some cool ideas. So we'll keep you posted. Stay tuned for that.
We have no idea how it's going to pan out, but definitely been enjoying just watching how all this stuff plays out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm interested in seeing this restaurant and seeing how people are having success with it, and we're not rushing. There's a lot of people, a lot of brands rushing, like, we got to put out an NFT. We got to just put out some garbage.
Yeah.
Same shit. It's like an altcoin. You're just going to steal a bunch of people's money if you even get people to invest. But we just taking it slow, watching. You know, that's how we've done this. We don't have mentors in, like, we have mentors in this space, but for what we're doing with marketing and cannabis, it hasn't really been done before. So we just like to sit back and watch and see what, you know, people who inspire us do and kind of try to apply that to our lane.
Yeah. But
yeah, we don't know.
It's like we're already doing free NFTs for everyone. It's like we're already throwing mansion parties for free with free alcohol and free VIP and free weed and discounts and fucking free content and this and that and this and that. You know what I mean? So it's like, how do we just amplify that times 100 and charge like $200 a person? Like, everybody that's come to our house, cool. Everybody give us $500 and then we're just going to dump that fucking 350K or whatever it is into like a budget to throw all these dope parties that you guys come to, so that when you come, you get even more value.
Yeah, it's like people come, like, here and you
that's
get
how it. I see it. Like something like that. You know what I mean? Where it's like all the money just goes into building and providing more value to the community through these dope events, or like, I don't know, just all these events we do are so like low budget and so like not.
Well, we don't try to make resources.
So it's like, yeah, so it's like if we did have a budget, it'd be cool to like go do some really crazy shit with it.
Or even people come here and you get a goodie bag from a bunch of the sponsors and you're walking away with like, who knows how much, you know, dollars worth of product in that bag. And cool, somebody spends $250 or $500 on an NFT. Like, I'm sure people who have become locals here at our events, like if you would have told them 2 years ago, like pay $200 and you'll be able to go to all these events and you'll be able to get like $200 goodie bags every time you go there.
Go to the bar, you're going to spend $100.
Plus, yeah. You know what I mean? Postmates, go to the bar, get drinks. You just spent $150 in a day.
Exactly.
And another thing with the events and just throwing them for the community and not charging people to come.
Exactly.
We could talk about our neighbors that we had.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I forgot about that. So much has happened.
Came and went.
I called that one. I was like, pff. I was like, there's no way. I was like, these kids are not going to last long. It was quicker than I thought though, for sure. We had these like probably like 20-year-old kids, 19, 20 something, really young, move into the house that's like looking down on us. Pretty ballin' fucking sick ass house. Like, and we're like, how the fuck these kids get in this house? Like, there's no way. Like, that's like a $20,000-$30,000 a month house easily, you know what I mean? And we're just like kind of confused, whatever. A week goes by, like I'm coming home on a Friday night and there's hundreds of cars. Literally, we live on this crazy windy hill and there's just cars everywhere all over the place, and there's like never usually cars like that. And I just see all these kids walking, like, oh, somebody's throwing a party, fucking whatever. We pulled over and I literally had to wait for like 15 to 20 minutes of nonstop, like 100 cars nonstop, 100, like all looked under 21. And then I make it up a little bit and it's just like literally Project fucking X, like insane. And I'm like, holy shit, whatever. I think the next night, another party, next weekend, basically every weekend for like the next 3 weeks, they're raging from like Thursday to Sunday. And then maybe even 1 or 2 days during the week or something.
Oh, during the week, I'd be packing my car at like 9, 9:30, and I would go outside and the music would just be blasting. They're not even having a party. They'd have like all these neon lights and shit, and the music's blasting at like 9:30 on a Tuesday, just raining down on us.
And we live in, fuck it, like everything echoes so much. So it's like you can hear, just like everybody can hear them, like blatantly hear them. And it's all these like old fucking rich people around here that like, last thing they want is these like 20-year-old party, you know what I mean? Like we try to keep our shit like,
last thing they want is these 30-year-old party assholes.
Yeah.
Let alone these fucking 20-year-old
That's what
kids.
I'm saying. Exactly. Like,
did you mention they were selling tickets?
No. So that's what I was about to get to. So like, I see that they're just like raging. So I'm like, I have to know someone, something, whatever. a day later, I get a DM and it's a video of somebody filming the house. And it's like this kid that comes to our parties, whatever. So I figure out like who's there, whatever. So I start like IG detective, like found that shit in like 6 minutes. I was like, fucking bust them in six 12 minutes.
Clicks.
Literally found their Facebook page. Like, dude, they're setting up Instagram pages. Like January 26th mansion party was like the name of the fucking account. And then it's like, buy tickets here, fucking whatever. And they had like multiple. And so like click the tickets and it's literally like a Facebook like page or whatever. And it's like mansion party performances, like full on like party flyer thing. And it's like 386 guests confirmed. And they're just selling tickets to the open public. Like literally just going for it. I'm like, holy shit, these kids are fucking ballsy. Like that's insane.
There's helicopters. We had the choppers.
Multiple
out.
Helicopters, cops everywhere. Like there'd be like weekends where it's like three nights in a row the cops are here. And I'm like, why? Like, how are they not telling? Like, we've had the cops here like a handful of times, and they're always like pretty much like, I don't know, it's like hit or miss. Sometimes they're cool, sometimes they're dicks, but it's always like, yo, fucking definitely stop doing this. You know what I mean? For somebody to do it three nights in a row, and the cops like not really like whatever. But anyways, whole point of the story, we get this letter. I should read this letter. I should have fucking had it on deck.
Do you even
basically,
have it anymore?
It was I saved on your desk it, yeah. Somewhere. Yeah. And the neighbors send a letter to everybody in the neighborhood and basically saying, clear my throat. They're like, these fucking kids, or they didn't say that. Like, these fucking kids, no. They're like, hey, this is your neighbor, blah, blah, blah. Just so you know, like, the tenants at whatever address, like, fraudulently moved in, scammed all their bank accounts, scammed all their, like, move-in documents, basically, like, forged all this shit, saying they, like, whatever, their credit and money and whatever, to get into this house. And then it's like, they are throwing outrageous parties. They're terrorizing the neighborhood. My daughter was coming home in her Uber and they attacked her car. They're urinating on my bushes. There's trash in the streets. Fucking, they're throwing crazy part, whatever. And then it's like, they're even filming pornos in the house. And then it's like, they're selling like public tickets. They're like, we're trying to kick them out, but they refuse to leave. We had to file a lawsuit with the city. We had to like bring our attorney in. We had to hire private security, like all this shit. And these kids like wouldn't leave. And like, it's crazy. I don't even know. Like, and then maybe 2-3 weeks they stayed and then they're just gone, vanished like that.
Do you think any of the neighbors ever sent out letters about us? Wasn't somebody saying like they're trying to sue you back in the day or some shit like that?
Yeah, I still don't know if that was a bluff or not. I think what I think it was initially like back in the day when they first were saying that was, I think it was because this bitch was probably, she was just figuring out what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so she probably got on her high horse and probably tried to fucking stir some shit
she
up.
She got on her blue horse on her roof. Like, fucking, the neighbor down right below us, the rooftop literally is blue like roof. Blue shiny rocks. And there's a person on a horse, a headless horseman statue.
Yeah, headless horseman,
and then
yeah.
There's a Jesus on a cross with staring blood. At us, making sure we're not sinning
not
up
sinning.
Here. But yeah, we've done 150 parties here, and we've had the cops come six times. We've gotten 2 tickets. Everything we try, we've tried as hard as we can to just be chill with all the neighbors. We have the neighbors over here fucking drinking our alcohol, smoking our weed.
Turn it
trying
up.
To get away from his wife.
Turn up for what?
Yeah. So, you know, we like to bring the community together here at High Rise. If that's our neighborhood here in Beverly Hills with all these people that think
we
they
welcome
don't want
everyone.
Us here. And you got these 20-year-old kids ruining the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well,
what a time.
That's going to be it for this episode of the High Rise Podcast. The High Rise Podcast sponsored by Pyramids Edibles. And Timber Tree Supply.
That shit's fucking falling everywhere. We're in 11 stores now for Timber and 8 for Pyramids. Check the website, see where you can find it. Find that shit, send us a picture, and we'll send you some merch.
And if it's not at your local dispensary,
tell them you want
to.
That shit.
And if you get it in your dispensary and somehow show us proof,
we'll break you some bread.
We'll fucking shoot us your Venmo.
We'll give him a loaf of bread, an actual loaf of bread, signed by DJ Breadwinner.
Stuffed with like some money.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuffed French toast, baby.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for fucking with us. We love doing this shit for you guys, and we love sharing all of our knowledge that we've learned and experiences and, you know, everything that's going on in the industry. So, yeah, we appreciate everything. Let's get us to 1,000 subs. We're almost there.
Running back,
it's been
baby.
Like 2 months. Almost at 1,000 subs in 2 months. So we're fucking stoked, guys. So till next episode, keep pushing, keep rising. We out.